The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Start spreading. Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. It is Friday. It is July 12th. And we have a great, fantastic show for you today. But first, let me bring in the young lady whose office I'm sitting in, and I'm speaking about Janet Cimarelli. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Al. Looking forward to a very educational, very interesting show today. Gonna be fun.
I couldn't agree with you more. I have a quick question for you.
Uh-oh.
Which I'm going to ask our guest also when we get him on and momentarily. Do you recall maybe about 20 years ago?
Oh, well.
That you couldn't get vitamin D beyond 400 IUs?
Okay. Now, I remember the change. I remember a time when a one-a-day multivitamin, and I'm thinking about in particular Solgar products, but it was pretty generally available in one-a-day vitamin, multivitamin products across the board, that they would have between 2,500 IUs and 5,000 IUs in a one-a-day formula. And then there was some research about fat-soluble nutrients accumulating in the body, and we're going to have vitamin D toxicity. And I'm very suspicious of that, because what happened after reducing that higher dose of vitamin D in the multivitamins to 400 IUs? We have immune issues, we have bone density issues, we have hormone issues. So I have never investigated what organization was the precipitating organization to make that change. So I go back even beyond those 20 years.
Well, hopefully our guest today is going to shed some more light on how the transition took place. And we're also going to learn about another supplement that's in the limelight the last couple of years, and that's vitamin K. But first, let me introduce a very special guest, Mr. Neil Levin, who is a board-certified clinical nutritionist. He is the nutrition education manager and product formulator for Now Foods. Now Foods happens to be our top-selling line here at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. He's a 40-year health food industry veteran and a former retailer. We had the pleasure of having Neil here in person the last time he was here in Florida. This time we're going to be speaking with Neil via phone. And let me bring in our very special guest, Mr. Neil Levin. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, Al. Nice to be with you and Janet.
Good morning. So happy to have you with us.
Now, why don't you bring us back in time to the vitamin D issue?
Vitamin D, sure. Well, vitamin D, if you go back to the 1980s and 90s, physicians were recommending against getting vitamin D, saying that it's oil-soluble, does not wash out of you very quickly, and is therefore inherently dangerous, that it can accumulate in the body. And at the time, they also did some tweaking of the blood test for vitamin D, where instead of using a serum test looking for metabolites of vitamin D2 and vitamin D3, they went to a cheaper test, typically, that was only looking for metabolites of D3. So if you were taking D2 And D2 is a vegetarian-sourced one from plant sterols or phytosterols. And D3 is an animal-sourced one from cholesterol or other animal sterols. And they actually work pretty similarly in the body at physiological or dietary-type doses. At heroic doses, like medical doses, where you're getting maybe 40 or 50 times that dose in a doctor visit, there is a difference. So medically, there's a difference in high doses. If you're taking normal doses, there's really almost no difference between the two forms. But because of the testing variation and because of the discrimination against the plant-sourced materials, people were not accurately measuring their vitamin D. And even today, if you're getting a vitamin D test, I always ask, because I'm getting D2 and D3 sources in my diet and my supplements, I always ask if the test is going to measure for metabolites of both and give me a true reading. Because if they're only looking for the D3 type and I'm taking D2 or fortified foods with D2 or whatever, then it's not going to give me an accurate measurement. We found out through testing, though, over the past couple decades, that people are often deficient in vitamin D, and vitamin D deficiency is associated with many issues, including higher risk of cardiovascular and blood sugar issues, immunity problems. There's vitamin D receptors in the pancreas to help us regulate blood sugar. There's vitamin D receptors in the prostate to help regulate the prostate gland. You know, it's just so widespread in what it does. And they've actually found a closer correlation between low levels of vitamin D and heart health issues than from the traditional things they test for heart health, which would be your blood pressure and your weight and your cholesterol levels, you know, all those kind of things. They don't actually predict heart attacks and strokes that kill people. And in one study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in the last decade or so, they did a review study, and they showed that over half the men who die of a heart attack or stroke have not been diagnosed with heart disease based on those classical testing. And about two-thirds of women who die of heart attack or stroke have not been diagnosed as heart disease based on their cholesterol, blood sugar, blood pressure, all these other types of things that are classically measured. So something else predicts it. And if you look at Health Canada, for example, their version of our FDA, they actually show that micronutrient deficiencies might be a trigger for some of these problems. And when you're looking at the very, very large studies, looking at hundreds of thousands of subjects and using medical professionals, doctors and nurses, who are, it's notable, those kind of studies, because they're not only very large studies over long periods of time, but it's believed that the health professionals are going to more reliably follow the protocol of the study. I mean, I've seen studies, this sounds weird, but I've actually seen studies where the conclusion is that a supplement doesn't work. But if you read the discussion before the conclusion, it says in the subgroup that followed the protocol, it worked. But not enough people followed the protocol, and so it was a failure. So the headline was the supplement doesn't work, when actually it did work if you took it. You know, which they should have actually specified in the conclusion, and they didn't. There might be some inherent bias. So if you have drug researchers and medical researchers who don't like supplements, are trying to put it on a bad light by inappropriately describing the results of their study. You know, the data shows the supplements will work if you take them. They didn't actually want to come out and say that.
Don't you see so many times in reports and professional journals that they have the headline the purpose of the study. And then when it makes its way into mainstream media, the headline seems to be very different than if you were to make a conclusion based on reading the whole study. You see it over and over and over again, and it certainly could be that pharmaceutical nutrient bias as the cause of it.
Well,
I have a question.
Bias, yeah.
Neil, hold on a minute.
Bias, though.
Neil, Janet sees hundreds of people on a regular basis here at the Save a Lot Nutrition Center. And let me just ask Janet, the range of vitamin D is very wide. I think it runs from 10 to 100. Or 15 to 100?
The reference range that is acceptable in the medical community is 30 to 100.
Okay.
So when someone's blood test results, and Neil's point earlier about evaluating what exactly did they test to know what your D level is. So from a doctor seeing a 31, they're happy. You're in the reference range. I'm not so happy because I want to see vitamin D optimized for a wide range of reasons. For women, for breast health, for men, for prostate health.
All right. So based upon that, we're down to how much vitamin D is recommended based upon the facts and figures that Neil is going to divulge now, because now has a wide range of vitamin D strengths. And all these strengths are meaningful when people are using them for the right reasons.
And, of course, using them being the operative phrase here. It's very interesting because what I have come to observe is that there, and I don't necessarily know the reason behind it, is that some people seem to be very much more receptive to the vitamin D supplementation. And some people seem resistant. So it is very interesting trying to find the right dose for each individual.
Well, looking in front of you on your desk, Janet, you see a wide variety of different vitamin D strengths
right
from Now Foods. And I know we'll be making a special offer on all of Now Foods when we come back from the break. But what do you see first here as far as a strength for vitamin D?
Okay, well, what I'm seeing in front of me is it begins at 1,000 IUs, then there's 2,000 IUs, 5,000 IUs, so a very nice range.
Neil, can you fill us in now, me and Janet and the listeners, as to where does someone start based upon the vitamin D level that is being shown? But however...
we'll hear that answer from our very special guest, Neil Levin of Now Foods. Right after we hear all of these messages, we will be right back. Stay tuned.
Are you taking the recommended supplements meant to address specific health issues? If you've not been able to reach your health goals, maybe the supplements don't have the biological activity necessary. Discuss with me, Janet Cimarelli, the specific nutrients for your health issues. Quality supplements and focused nutrient dosages make a world of difference. To achieve your health goals, come to Save a Lot Nutrition Center. Our excellent staff has combined experience well over 100 years. You get the very best supplements at the very best prices. Save a Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
Save a Lot has the entire spectrum of products to support your good health. Let's begin with those choices of organic foods at Save-A-Lot. Minimize your exposure to artificial chemicals found in fertilizers, pesticides, and GMOs. Choose organic foods and support your good health as well as supporting ethical food practices. Come into Save-A-Lot and see your organic food choices at great prices. The best prices. 3105 North State Road 7, Margate. Half mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Plaza. 754-307-1655.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. It is Friday, the 12th of July. And I want to let the listeners know that because we have Neil Levin, the formulator and nutrition expert from Now Foods, we're going to do something special for Now Foods today on all the products that we have here from Now Foods. And we're going to give you an additional 15% off the everyday low price here at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. So whatever you buy in Now Foods today or tomorrow, you'll receive an additional 15% off our everyday low prices. In addition, from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock today, we have Carla and Rebecca here from Now Foods giving away these beautiful tote bags, which Janet has sitting on her desk right now, which are beautiful orange color with the emblem of Now Foods on one side and the emblem of Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers on the other side. Very, very nice bag, very handy bag, and must be used whenever you're carrying different products. So we encourage you to come in and get your free bag. There's no charge for the bag, and you're getting 15% off whatever you buy in Now Foods. So getting back to the question, Janet, that we threw out to Neil, based upon what we're looking at here and based upon what is recommended, where do you say a person should start, Neil?
Well, part of it depends on how much sunlight you get, and that's actually one of the fallacies of many of the vitamin D nutritional studies, is they're not looking at serum levels, they're not looking at solar exposure, and the general rule, by the way, is if you're out in the sun without sunblock, and there's about 25% of your skin exposed, and the sun is at such an angle that your shadow is shorter than your height. Think about that. Visualize that. Your shadow has to be shorter than your height. You can make vitamin D. And it takes 20, 30 minutes in the sun a day to make your daily allotment of vitamin D with that exposure. However, if you're dark-skinned, it takes about twice as long because it's a dark skin is almost like a suntan where it actually blocks some of the sun. And the sun tanning the skin and the skin darkening is actually a protective mechanism. It breaks down vitamin D, it down-regulates vitamin D, and it prevents vitamin D from going above 88 nanogram per milliliter. So when Janet's talking about a good range being 50 to 100, you typically are not going to get quite that at the high end of that range by sunlight alone. But over 50 is considered optimal and ideal, as she mentioned. Over 30 is considered adequate for the typical medical community. And in fact, the upper limit, which is 4,000 units daily, was set because if you take 5,000 a day, every day, then you get your blood levels typically a little bit above that 30 nanogram per milliliter, which is, you know, a lot of nutritionists consider that minimal, not optimal, as Janet mentioned. And so they actually added a 20% safety margin and lowered it from 5,000 to 4,000 as a recommendation for the upper limit. But at that level, people are typically not going to get much above 30 nanogram per milliliter, which provides some protection but not optimal protection. And it provides enough for bone and dental health, but not enough for protection against cellular disorders, heart issues, blood sugar issues, controlling your balance, which is one of the things people don't even know vitamin D does. That's an approved claim in the European Union, and they're very conservative there, as you can imagine. So there's a lot of other claims that you can make, immunity, that are at higher levels than you need for bone and dental health. The RDA and daily value, which mimics the RDA in the United States, is, and that's what you see on labels, daily value, not RDA. But it's based on the bone and dental health model, not the other benefits of vitamin D beyond bone health. And if you want the other benefits, you need higher levels. And that's why we have amounts that range from 1,000 to 10,000. And if you're taking, if you have very low levels of vitamin D, you need to take higher levels to boost it up. It's very hard to budge the serum level if you're taking 1,000 a day. It's good for maintenance, but it's not going to raise it very much, especially if it's low. So 5 to 10,000 is a more appropriate range if you're trying to, 5,000 to maintain levels of around 30 to 35 nanogram per milliliter, maybe 40, somewhere in that range, which is a low end of a good range, and 10,000 if you're trying to actually raise your serum levels.
Let me give our listeners a little heads up about the price, because vitamin D is what I would call a relatively inexpensive vitamin. If you're looking to take just 1,000 IUs, Now Foods has a bottle of 180 soft gels that we have here at Save-A-Lot at only $5.39. We have the 2,000 IU of 120 soft gels at the same price of $5.39, keeping in mind that you're going to get an additional 15% off this price today and tomorrow. And we are open today until 7, and tomorrow we are open from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Janet Cimarelli is here to answer any questions you may have about vitamin D or any other issue today from 12 until 5 and tomorrow, Saturday, from 12:30 to 5:30. Moving on up, the 5,000 IU in a 240 soft gel is only $13.79. So based upon if you were taking 5,000 a day, you have a six-month supply at $13.79, less 15%, which is a ridiculously low price, less than a cup of coffee. And the biggest question I have now, Neil, is based upon what level they want to achieve. How often do you recommend getting vitamin D levels checked?
Typically, you would want to have it checked at least once a year at your annual medical checkup, just to get a baseline. And if you're in pretty good shape, you're well above 30 nanogram per milliliter, then actually other countries use a different measurement that's about 2.5 times the number. So, you know, don't get confused if you're looking at studies and you're seeing these higher numbers, because there's two different systems being used. In the United States, it's nanogram per milliliter. They're using a nanomole system per liter in Europe or other countries. So, you know, studies are going to be a little confusing unless you're taking that into account. But typically once a year, if you are very low, you might want to check the first 3 to 6 months, go back to your doctor and recheck it, or if there's a health food store or some other place offering screenings, they're often a way to do that. Again, I would say, depending on which types of vitamin D you're getting from your diet and from your supplements, you might want to ask if they're testing for vitamin D2 and D3 metabolites, or only the D3 metabolites, which is the cheaper test, but it might not reveal your true serum level if you're getting both forms in your diet or supplementation.
Well, speaking for vitamin D here at Save-A-Lot, Janet, we go all the way up to 50,000 IUs for one.
Right.
And that's generally given once a week.
People mistakenly believe that the 50,000 IU vitamin D supplement is by prescription only. And I hasten to tell people, yes, you can find that over the counter.
And that's 50,000
IUs in one capsule.
And as Neil has pointed out, the vitamin D is giving a multitude of benefits to the body. The difference between vitamin D2 and vitamin D3, is someone, in your opinion, able to just take vitamin D2?
Yes, at normal doses, I mean, at 50,000, there's going to be a difference. At 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, not really. And they actually, one of the major vitamin D researchers in the world, Dr. Michael Hollick, has published a lot about this. And he's actually got patients who, for 7 years, have been on 1,000 units a day of vitamin D2 or 1,000 units a day of vitamin D3. And he's checked all their measurements, their hormone levels, their serum levels, the things that vitamin D does and changes into in the body. He can't find a difference at 1,000 units a day of the two. They're interchangeable. They both prevent rickets, the vitamin D deficiency disease. You know, so they at normal doses, they seem to be equivalent, both in absorption and in effect. At very high levels, like the 50,000 you mentioned, there is a difference. Vitamin D3 lasts longer in the body at that level and is more toxic in the body at that level. And historically, doctors have given vitamin D2 for the very high levels for that reason.
I have a question for you, Neil. You're talking about individuals who are exposed to sunlight and able to maintain certain levels of vitamin D functioning within their body based on certain criteria. My question is, someone who is, let's say, over the age of 60 and the chemistry of the skin is dramatically different than, let's say, a 20-year-old, 20, 30-year-old, is there a difference in the ability to utilize sunlight and convert it to vitamin D through your skin based on age?
There is some. As the skin dries out, there's less oil in it, for example. You would probably not have as much of the material, the animal sterols, are like cholesterol in the skin, and it would not be as accessible to turn in to vitamin D. There's also issues with orally. As you mentioned earlier, there's differences in absorption, and vitamin D is a fat-soluble nutrient. And it requires about a teaspoon of fat to trigger your pancreatic enzymes and your bile from your gallbladder, assuming you still have one, to absorb your vitamin D.
Right.
If you don't have a gallbladder, I recommend taking vitamin D with MCT oil, medium chain triglycerides, which will absorb without bile and will transport the fat-soluble nutrients. So take MCT oil with your multiple vitamin or your vitamin D or anything fat soluble, vitamin E, if you want to absorb it and you don't have a gallbladder.
Excellent advice. There are so many people out there who have had gallbladder surgery and need to know details like that when they're relying on fat soluble nutrients to support specific health issues.
Neil, how about kids? Where do you stand with vitamin D in children?
Well, actually, there's some interesting studies. Like right now, the upper limit that's considered safe for everybody in the United States for babies is 1,000 units. But in a study in Finland, they gave the children 2,000 units for a year, and they lowered their rate of type 1 diabetes by over 70%, by about three-quarters.
Wow.
And it shows there's a link between vitamin D status and blood sugar health. And in fact, Now Foods partners with Abbott Labs. We actually contribute vitamin D liquid supplement for new mothers. They get a package when they leave the hospital that includes our vitamin D liquid dropper to give to the babies. And that's considered a standard medical practice. And best practice for the health of a newborn baby is to give them vitamin D supplements.
That music means that it's time for us to take a break here on the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. We have our very special guest with us, Neil Levin of Now Foods, and specials going on right now in the store. People in the store with samples and all kinds of goodies like the Now Save a Lot Bright Orange Bag and 15% off all of the Now products today, Friday, and tomorrow, Saturday. So stay tuned because you have more education to come from our special guest, Neil Levin. We'll be right back.
JanaJuice is the innovative way to get the benefits of super juices in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Pomegranate benefits without the sugar. Acai, noni, koji berry magnesine, lychee in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Easy to carry with you to work, when traveling, or just too busy to juice. Antioxidants that provide immune support benefits in two capsules. Find out more at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers, 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate, a half mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center. Come in and speak to our friendly and knowledgeable team.
Caring for your health doesn't stop with taking the best supplements. Caring for your health also means reducing your exposure to harmful chemicals. Come see the great selection of skincare products that contain no harmful chemicals. Products that support your good health and the health of the world around us. Natural hair care, body washes, fragrances, essential oils, moisturizers. All of these support your good health with natural products, natural ingredients at great prices, fabulous prices, unmatched prices, all at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate, 754-307-1655.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. It is Friday, the 12th of July, and our very special guest today is Mr. Neil Levin from Now Foods. Janice Morelli is available today from 12 to 5, tomorrow is Saturday from 12:30 to 5:30. The special offer we have for Now Foods is that all Now Foods products will carry an additional 15% off our everyday low price. So keep that in mind when you're looking for a great item at a great price with quality ingredients. And that's Now Foods, which happens to be our number one product line here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Carla and Rebecca will be giving away a beautiful tote bag. And as Jana pointed out, in a very, very bright orange with Now Foods on one side, Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers on the other side. And the next topic that we want to get to, Janet, is vitamin K. Now, this came about being, I guess, more popular about a year or two ago, would you say?
Yeah. In that range, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Neil, what can you enlighten us and our listeners about vitamin K? Because Now Foods does make a variety of vitamin Ks with D3.
We do, both with and without. And when you get a multivitamin, you're typically getting a form of vitamin K called K1. And vitamin K1 is the typical vitamin K you would get from eating green leafy vegetables or certain grains, those kind of things. The normal vitamin K in the diet. It's about 90% of the vitamin K we get in the diet is vitamin K1. About 10% of what we get in the diet is vitamin K2. And there's a variety of vitamin K2 forms, and the main one we would see in supplements or foods would be called MK4. And the number 4 is the indicative part there. It's a form of vitamin K2, but there's a number of different variations or isomers that are MK4 is the more common. And that if you see vitamin K2 in a multi or a standard supplement that has vitamin D and vitamin K, for example, and it says vitamin K2, it's almost always going to be MK4. That's your standard one. And MK4 is fine. It's the one that you get from fermented foods like if you're eating yogurt or cheese, you know, those kind of things. The vitamin K in there is actually converted to the vitamin K2, and most of that is in the form of MK4. Now, MK4 does not absorb very well. And it does not have a very long half-life in circulation in the body, but it is something that is an active form of vitamin K2 in the body. But there is a more unique form of vitamin K2 called MK7, which is typically from natto which is a fermented soy dish, though more recently we've been able to offer one that's a fermented chickpea instead, or garbanzo bean, another name for chickpeas, for people who don't want soy. But it's vitamin MK7 absorbs dramatically more than MK4. It works by slowly converting in the body to MK4, so it's almost like a time-release MK4 that absorbs much, much better. And you're getting dramatically more vitamin K2 in the body. Now, the difference between K1 and K2, K1 tends to hang out in the liver and work on clotting factors. K2 tends to circulate through the arterial system, and it actually helps move calcium from the bloodstream into cells and tissues such as bones. So vitamin D helps you absorb calcium. Vitamin K helps you mobilize and deliver it where it's going, so you don't end up with it depositing in the wrong places. And that's one of the reasons why vitamin K2 has been associated with cardiovascular health, because calcification of the arteries is a secondary symptom of arteries being damaged by not having the collagen being healthy, not having enough antioxidants or whatever to maintain them, and having these stresses on the arteries that need patching. If you imagine a roadway that's got potholes, and the crew comes along and puts these tar patches in, it's not a permanent fix, it's not pretty, it's sticky and dirty and nasty, but it does the job so you don't ruin your car on there. In the same way, the body is patching these pitted arteries that are damaged so that you don't leak your blood internally, basically scurvy, where you internally bleed to death. And that relationship to scurvy indicates a relationship to antioxidants, especially vitamin C, as maintaining blood vessels and preventing the accumulation of oxidized cholesterol, the plaque that patches it, and the calcium that ends up sticking to the patch. So vitamin K helps prevent that. Vitamin C is associated with this. The nutrients you get in a multivitamin or in a vitamin D and vitamin K supplement actually can help maintain the arteries and the cardiovascular system and those kind of things.
Neil, do you have any experience with combining the different Ks, like K2, K4, and K7?
Well, K4 absorbs so poorly and has such a short half-life that the MK7 tends to be much preferred. Now, it's much more expensive, just to put that on the table. You get a lot more bang for the buck, but it's not the same price. That's why most multis and multiple calcium formulas and things that add vitamin K are either going to use K1 or they're going to use the MK4 type of vitamin K2. MK7 does everything the MK4 does, but it does it better. So, if you see a mix, it's usually to keep the price down.
Well, I know the MK7 from Now Foods with the K2 is 100 microgram capsule, and there's 60 in a bottle, and it's only $11.99. Keeping in mind that that price of $11.99, you'll be getting an additional 15% off today and tomorrow on not only the vitamin K2 with MK7, but also all the Now Foods that we have here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Janet, have you experienced clients coming in to see you that say the doctor has told them not to take any vitamin K2?
Actually, I haven't had anybody tell me their doctor has said that, but a lot of people just have it in their minds. Vitamin K is the blood coagulating factor, and consequently, they want to assure themselves that their circulation is optimized, and they have a perception that the vitamin K may interfere with that optimal circulatory aspect. And so very much the people who have been prescribed things like Coumadin and Eliquis blood thinning pharmaceuticals, they have been told by their doctors absolutely not to have vitamin K in any form. That's pretty much perhaps because the doctors are not necessarily aware of all of the research on the different forms and different doses of vitamin K. Neil?
Yeah.
Oh, you say is there a safe dose?
One more element.
Yes.
There's one more element people should know. Vitamin K2, as we talked about, tends to not form the clotting factors like the vitamin K1. But if you're on Coumadin, the blood thinner, the problem is that's something that works against vitamin K. So they don't want you to avoid vitamin K necessarily. If you look at the actual studies, they say you need to get the RDA or the daily value of vitamin K, which is 80 micrograms. But the problem is you don't want to get 300 micrograms one day and 40 micrograms another day and have it bouncing up and down with your levels, because that's what throws off the medication. Yeah, having a steady amount is fine. Having it be within the RDA is fine. But and you don't want to be deficient of vitamin K. You don't want it to have dramatically varying levels day to day. Have a huge salad one day with a lot of vitamin K, for example, and then nothing the next day. That's what they're really warning about, and they don't know how to tell patients that, or they're not digging in deep enough. So they're telling them just to avoid vitamin K, which is really a cop-out, in my opinion. And if you're doing K2, it's much less risky, but taking the same amount every day is really the key for that. And some of the more modern blood thinners, like Xarelto would be one that people might have heard of, do not work on the vitamin K mechanism, and you don't have to worry about the diet and look at lists of which foods are high or low in vitamin K.
It's very interesting because I'm not necessarily familiar with the potential nutrient imbalances created by some of the newer blood thinning pharmaceuticals, but Coumadin significantly deranges calcium metabolism, significantly deranges iron, pulling iron from the blood and depositing it in the lower limbs, calcium being pulled from the bone. So we know that the role of vitamin K is that mobilization of calcium, the delivery of calcium where it needs to be. And so there's a lot of, unfortunately, misinformation in the perception of the public. The doctors have another area of misinformation. So it's very important to have the delivery of the information that you're providing here today. Any of those individuals who are concerned about heart disease and circulatory disease based on genetics, their family history, and so on, and that, as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, very important to understand that if you're relying certainly alone on the cholesterol and lipid profile, that doesn't tell the whole story. That music means that it's time for us to take a break here on the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. Our very special guest today, Neil Levin of Now Foods. I'm here in the office with Mr. Al Foreman, and we have special things going on at Save a Lot today. Stay tuned, more to come.
Health and happiness are high priority, but so is the health of your budget. That's where Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers addresses all of your health and nutrition needs with EDLP. Everyday low pricing. No need to wait around for special sales. Every day of every week, you can find the health-supporting items you have come to rely on at the prices that fit your pocketbook. Info at SaveALotNutritionCenters.com.
When you support your probiotic status with Best Biotic, you are on the way to overall good health. Your brain benefits with Best Biotic. Your immune system benefits with Best Biotic. Your digestion benefits with Best Biotic. Who doesn't need that kind of broad support for health and well-being? Enhance your health with Best Biotic. You can learn more at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers and find Best Biotic at incredible savings. Call 754-307-1655 for more information.
Morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. It is Friday, July 12th, and we have our very special guest, Mr. Neil Levin from Now Foods, talking about, we covered vitamin D and vitamin K. There are three other products that we want to cover before we have to say goodbye. But I do want to make mention of the fact that if you missed any part of this show and you'd like to hear more of it, or maybe repeat it several times so you can adjust your brain thinking about how beneficial the vitamin D is and vitamin K, tune in tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock at 1470. You can listen to the show again, or you can go to the Save A Lot website. And we archive all of our radio shows, so you can listen to it anytime you'd like, for as long as you'd like, on the Save A Lot Nutrition Center website under archive radio shows. And again, Now Foods is giving us the opportunity to give you 15% off the everyday low price of all Now Foods. You'll also have the opportunity to get a beautiful tote bag free. Don't have to buy anything. Just come in and see Carla or Rebecca today from 11 to 2, and it'll give you this beautiful, bright orange Now Food on one side and Save A Lot Nutrition Centers on the other side tote bag, which I know you'll make great many useful trips to wherever you're going to do your shopping. Hopefully, it's going to be here at Save A Lot Nutrition Center. Janet is available today from 12 to 5. And tomorrow, Saturday, 12:30 to 5:30. We are open today until 7. Tomorrow, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And there are three products that we'd like to cover in the short amount of time we have left, Neil. And that's the benefits of selenium, creatine, and natokinase. So we'll turn it over to you.
Sure. Creatine is something that's used to get energy to the muscles. The heart, of course, is a muscle. And it's the muscle that's constantly working. So there are studies showing that people that have low energy in their heart benefit not only from taking coenzyme Q10 or CoQ10 in high doses, but by taking creatine with it. We've seen the same thing, by the way, with the people who get the muscle aches from using the statin drugs, from depleting their CoQ10 production in the body. Taking CoQ10 alone often does not remedy that. Adding creatine helps with the CoQ10 to restore the energetics of the muscles that have been disrupted by the medications. And so creatine is used not only for athletes, it's been shown to be helpful in older people who don't have a lot of muscle energy anymore, and they need the energy just to walk around or do things day to day. So creatine is something not just for athletes, it's something for people concerned about their hearts, their muscles, and not including the heart, and for daily activities as well.
And, how do you recommend taking that?
Creatine is normally taken as a drink because the normal amount you take is several grams a day, and it's more than you would get in a capsule. We do offer capsule versions, but you're not getting very much in a single capsule. So while that's a convenient way to take it, you're not getting a very significant amount. And you know, if you do a small scoop like a teaspoon, you're really getting a better amount that's going to help.
With food or without food?
Creatine actually absorbs better with sugars and things, carbohydrates. So in that sense, with some kind of food or juice or you know something like that.
A couple of bites of fruit sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, how about selenium? And,
selenium is an antioxidant mineral, and it helps to support vitamin E, which is, again, useful for cardiovascular health. good for blood vessel health and things like that. And selenium is also good for immunity. And, you know, some of the issues with the body not maintaining tissues have to do with challenges from immune problems, diverting energies to resolving or trying to deal with those problems. So selenium has a role in the maintenance of normal cellular health, helping vitamin E, which helps in a range of things. The antioxidants all work as a family, so maintaining your arterial health and your immunity and all those things all kind of goes hand in hand. And even there's another antioxidant, cysteine, which is an amino acid, or the NAC, N-acetylcysteine, stable form. That's actually been used in hospitals for people with lung problems to try to resolve them. So antioxidants have a wide range of effects. NAC or cysteine is also the limiting factor in us making glutathione, which is the there's a couple forms of that that is the major circulating antioxidants made by the body.
Well, people with selenium, wouldn't they find that in a multivitamin as well?
You'll typically find selenium in a multivitamin, usually at levels of, I believe the daily value is around 70 micrograms, and you might find levels up to 200 micrograms in some of the ones that are a little higher in antioxidants.
But the recommended dose would be 200 micrograms per day.
If you're taking it separately, it would be 200, yes.
Would there be any other reason for them to take more than 200?
I wouldn't recommend that just because I think having more variety of antioxidants to recycle and support each other is more important than loading up on one single one. I mean, even on something like vitamin C, you recycle vitamin C with other antioxidants like selenium. So, you know, the half-life of vitamin C is very short, and it needs to be recycled constantly. So the other antioxidants actually support it more than just take, you know, otherwise you have to continuously take vitamin C. You know, pets actually make vitamin C on demand, you know, dogs, cats, those kind of things. Yeah, horses, cows. Most mammals
not
make
humans.
Their own. We can't. Not humans, not guinea pigs, not fruit-eating bats. There's about 20 mammals that can't do it because of the variety of our diets and we get other antioxidants. Most mammals actually make their own.
Well, we only have a few minutes left. The last item that we want to cover, which I believe is probably for heart health as well, is nattokinase.
Yeah, nattokinase is an enzyme that's isolated from natto. Natto is a black, sticky, fermented soy paste that they use as a condiment in the Orient. And it's kind of an acquired taste. You know, it's kind of strong smelling. And natto is, they both extract the MK7, that really good form of vitamin K we were talking about earlier, from natto. They also can extract an enzyme called nattokinase, which affects clotting, and it supports normal clotting. It will not prevent normal clotting, but it prevents abnormal clotting. So it helps keep the circulation going, and it attacks fibrin, which is a type of fibrous material that forms clots. And so it helps minimize them within the normal range.
Well, based upon that, who would you recommend use this particular product?
Well, if someone has heart rhythm issues or concerns, and one of the problems is if the heart isn't beating within rhythm, you can form a clot that can travel very quickly to the heart or the brain and cause heart attacks or strokes, especially if you have narrow arteries from those issues we talked about earlier. So it's kind of an anti-clotting thing. A lot of people now are afraid to take their daily aspirin because it doesn't help very many people, and there's some significant side effects from it. And some of the more recent publicity and research has been negative about the daily aspirin use. And taking nattokinase would be one alternative that would actually work on the same anti-clotting goal where you don't have abnormal clotting, you maintain it within a normal range, and it's a healthy thing.
In your opinion, would NatoK help people with AFib?
It's not going to prevent AFib, but it would help prevent them from forming clots from the AFib. Because that's really the big risk, is they form a clot because the blood's pooling up. It's not being pushed effectively from the heart. And if it pools up, it can actually clot right in the heart or next to the heart. And that clot can actually clog a blood vessel, whether near the heart or the artery or even in the brain, which would cause a stroke. And you don't want that, obviously. So that's the main danger. That's why people with AFib issues will take the Coumadin or the Xarelto to maintain the blood flow and be anti-clotting. So in the same way, people are taking natokinase as a natural food extract to try to maintain their normal clotting and avoid clots from forming where they don't belong.
What about supporting heart energy, prevent the aspect of blood pooling in the chamber of the heart with the creatine?
Creatine is more for the energy of the heart, that it has enough energy to pump, to push. So, you know, heart is a very energy-draining part of the body. So you really have to be able to give it the energy. CoQ10 and creatine CoQ10 would be number one, but creatine would be number two for getting energy to the heart.
Well, Neil, we only have a couple of minutes left. Can you just give our listeners a quick review of what we spoke about? Because I hear that music.
Yeah, we talked about different nutrients for heart health, vitamin K, vitamin D, creatine, natokinase enzyme, and selenium and N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, which are antioxidants and also good for cardiovascular health.
Janet?
And that music means we've come to the end of our hour, the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Our special guest, Neil Levin of Now Foods, thank you so much for spending this time with us, Neil. It has been super informative. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. We'll be back next Friday at 10.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in again next Friday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.